Struggling to keep track of your story and world? Archivos is for you. More intuitive than a wiki, more extensible than Scrivener, Archivos builds your story bible into your personal, always-on tactical display. Graphical relationship charting, continuity tools, this thing has it all, with bonus options for fan engagement and real-time collaboration. I don't recommend tools I don't use, guys, and this one is good enough that even Open Source Me is using it for one of his projects instead of my trusty old wiki. Archivos. Story world management done right. www.archivos.digital. That's www.archivos.digital. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 759.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back. Thank you very much for the emails you have sent in. Wondering where the hell I've been. Things have been crazy, but mostly for good reasons. I finished a couple of books. I've had a whole bunch of work to do getting the business spinning back up after its long, long semi-fallow period. And while all that was going on, I lost track of where the queue was. So, we're back, and thanks to all of you, we've got 30 days of questions ahead of us. Now, don't let that discourage you from sending in more questions, because the more questions we have, the easier it is to ensure that there isn't an interruption in the show next time something big and crazy happens, because we can stay several weeks ahead on the queue. This time, there was the holiday seasons, and there's never questions during the holiday season, and always a lot right after, so that's just the luck of the draw. But in the spirit of such things, last year, about this time, Vega sent in a question asking about my 2019 writing goals, and we aired the episode in the middle to the end of January. Well, this time she sent a follow-up, and so we're scheduling it for about the same time. And, well, here we go. Vega asks,
in episode 612, I asked you about your writer goals for 2019. So, how has the year been? Have you achieved, dropped, changed your 2019 goals?
Well, 2019 was a very bad year. It was perhaps the worst year of my adult life, especially for writing. Or at least, it felt like that. It was a miserable year. It was the last year, what hopefully is the last year, in a stretch of 4 years where more and more of my life gradually got eaten up by saving the asses of family members, and eventually there just wasn't any life left to do anything for me except to sort of start building the practical on-ramp back to the world of normalcy, if such a term can ever apply to me. So I did do a lot of cool stuff in 2019. I had learned metalworking, did a lot of boot camp type activity for homesteading, and did a lot of saving the asses of relatives. But I burned out hardcore to the point where I wasn't actually allowed to go home. I've been sentenced to a winter in exile so that I could get my writing mojo back. So 2019 did end on a high note with having gotten a good way into that process. I was 3/4 of the way through The Wolf of Venus by that time, and got a lot of dex-clearing activity done. But as a writer, it was a depressing, depressing year. So depressing that I actually seriously thought about just giving the whole thing up and quitting. And one of the things that changed my mind about doing that was running my numbers for the year. It felt to me like I wrote nothing and did nothing for myself, my business, any of the stuff that are my raison d'etre for getting out of bed in the morning. It felt like about the only thing I had going was this podcast. And this podcast was serving largely to remind me that I was falling down on the job. Well, upon running my numbers, I discovered two things. The first was that my not writing anything actually was me writing 250,000 words, but not finishing anything. And I further discovered that I hadn't actually finished anything in 2 years, but that I had been writing at that kind of low, constant clip. There was a time in my life, and it wasn't too long ago, when 250,000 words in a year would have been a massive achievement. Now, it is so low that it doesn't even register as having done anything. Now, that's actually good news for professional development, because it means that my natural state, the level that I had hit, which was easily 500,000 words a year or more, when I'm writing seriously, that level is actually what my whole body and self feels like is normal. So that's not a bad thing if you want to do this for a living. So that helped me give myself a little bit of a break there. It also revealed that the beginning of this year will be made up of finishing one book after another, and that's actually what started happening. I finished The Wolf of Venus about a week and a half ago. I'm now really close to finishing the Autodidact's Bible, and that's going to turn around, and I'm going to finish Lanthum 9, which is called Behind the Hypnotic Toad, pretty damn quick. And that, at that point, I get to get back into the big series, and the big series is what's really hanging over my head. And so my goal this year is to get 2 volumes, not the remaining 4, but 2 volumes of the big series done, and another Lanthum in addition to the one that I'm about finishing. So finish volume 10 of the Lanthum series. That will bring us to the close of the Sternwood arc, a 10-book arc, a single mystery running through 10 books, you know, dropping clues here and there, that I've had in mind since I wrote And Then She Was Gone. And that book will be called Extinction Tango, and so if I can get Extinction Tango finished writing by the end of the year, I will call that a win. The other big goal is to get my own audiobooks done. I've kept the lights on the last several years by doing audiobooks for other people. So I've done a lot of audiobooks. I'm well over 30-some-odd now. But very few of those are mine. That's really annoying. So I've just finished my first audiobook for me of the year. The next one will be in a few days. They're currently in editing. Still got some client work that I'm taking care of as well. But I'm actually back to running my business as my business. And that's huge. And if I can keep that up, I'm going to be doing pretty good. Now, I want to get back up to 500,000 words this year or more. Of course, in the way of all of that is the big elephant in the room for me this year, which is an interstate move and then building the office. We're going to be building the permanent base for AWP finally after all these years, and I'm going to be building it with my own 2 hands in a location that will be off-grid for the next few years until we can afford to bring power in. So that's going to be a not inconsiderable task. But it should be fun, and actually just having that done by the time the snow flies next year will make me a very, very happy guy. That's assuming that we don't get taken out by a pandemic or anything. Speaking of which, one of the things that I've had to do in prep for being able to do this move, anyway, that's all assuming that I don't get killed by a pandemic or anything. Speaking of which, that's the other thing that we've actually been able to do now that we're running our business again is start putting in contingency plans. And just before we did this show, we had our board meeting. One of the things we had to talk about at the board meeting was what the contingency plans are in case one of us gets sick and dies, which is something that we had been putting off talking about because everyone else was getting sick and dying around us. But the chances are low that this will happen, but there is a possible worldwide flu pandemic going on in the early stages right now. It's called the coronavirus. It's the largest quarantine of humans in history. This thing is spreading pretty bad, and it's got a mortality rate a little bit lower than the Spanish flu. Normally, a flu will kill 1 in every 1,000 people if it's really, really deadly. This particular respiratory gem kills between 1 in 100 and 1 in 20, depending on whose reports you believe in. It's got a long incubation period. So it wouldn't do you guys any harm either to talk about contingencies for people dying or for making sure that you've got your medical and food supplies scurried away in case things go a little bit sideways for a while if everybody gets sick. You got to remember the Spanish flu in 1918 killed more people than World War I and World War II put together. That's combat deaths and civilian casualties. These things do not happen often. But when they do, they're a big deal. So it's an important part of any business plan to have contingencies in place for what happens when that happens. We have a good plan in place for what happens. Kitty dies, if I die, or if any of the people we're responsible for dies or gets seriously sick. We've discovered the hard way over the last few years that not having those contingency plans in place eventually means that the business breaks down completely, and that, of course, leads to the ability to keep the lights on breaking down. Of course, at the new place we're building out, keeping the lights on won't be nearly as difficult because we'll be generating our own power for a while, but we're going to have to figure out how all that works as we go. So that'll be fun. But keep yourselves healthy, and my recommendation is that you use this, what is hopefully scare rather than actual emergency, as an excuse to prepare yourself for the day when an actual emergency could come, because they do come, whether it's a epidemic or a tornado or a hurricane or a earthquake. They happen all the time. I've lived through a number of Class A emergencies in my life, and one of the things that happens is that your ability to function in a just-in-time fashion like we're all used to goes away. And the upside of not functioning in a just-in-time fashion is it's actually cheaper. So you run on a buffer where you've got, you know, a larger number of groceries around and that sort of thing. You can do things a lot cheaper. There are trade-offs, but for what it's worth. Anyway, that's a big, long discursion. What's the next part of the question, Kitty?
And I'll ask the same question again. What are your writing goals for 2020, both in StoryCraft and in business? Where possible, can you quantify your goals, such as word count, copy sold, income earned, etc.? I think you mentioned some New Year's goals on the NanoGang wrap-up episode, but it'd be nice to have a standalone.
Well, my goals in StoryCraft are pretty straightforward, I guess. I want to finish all the books that are half done. That means Lantham 9, the Autodidacts Bible, Deep Characterization, and the Hartman Gambit, which is the next in the Cabracon series. In terms of StoryCraft, the Hartman Gambit is the big one. I did a lot of stuff in Wolf of Venus that is going to be preparing me for what the rest of this big series demands of me. Because what I'm trying to do with it is to thread the needle between a Ken Follett kind of character drama on one hand. And if you haven't read Ken Follett, he tends to write thrillers, but he also writes epic historical fiction. And one of the things he is really, really good at is creating relatable characters that are fairly difficult anyway, but they're really relatable, and letting the drama between the characters drive a bigger story that you don't really have to care about, because the drama between the characters is so interesting. And when he's at his best, the drama between the characters is interesting without being stupid. It's very easy to do stupid character drama when you're trying to drive things with interpersonal drama the way that he does. But at his best, none of the characters are stupid. And so that's what I'm hoping to do on that side of things. And I'm trying to put that kind of character-driven storytelling into a heavily plot, sociology, and ideas-driven book like, for example, Dune. I'm trying to do something with the cultural meat and depth and philosophical meat of a Dune book with the character drive of a Ken Follett novel, and to do it in a way that is really exciting and propulsive so that it pushes you through the book at a really, really good clip without sacrificing the reflection that comes with a book like Dune. This is something that I've been trying to learn how to do ever since I started writing back when I was a little kid. And because of what I did with Wolf, it's starting to feel like it might be in grasping distance. So in craft terms, that's the needle I've got to thread with the Hartman Gambit. And if I can pull that off, I'm going to just keep going forward and do the whole series, because if I can pull that off for the rest of this series, then I've got a much, much bigger series in mind for my next big project. And that's the one I'm really dying to get to. Even though I've been working on this series on and off for 20-odd years, it's the series after this, which is actually in a different continuity, a sort of a fork on the timeline, that I'm really interested in getting to, because that one will be really, really hard to do. Now, if I do wind up having time available after I get the Hartman Gambit done, I am going to want a palate cleanser, so at that point I'm intending to jump back across to Extinction Tango. Word count-wise, all of this adds up to about 500,000 words if I get Extinction Tango in there as well. So that's back up to where I was when life was working well and hadn't been blown up. So that may be a little bit of an ask in a year when I've got an interstate move scheduled for the middle of the year, and then I have to build the office that will be AWP's permanent headquarters with my own two hands. But that's one of the business goals for this year, is getting the permanent headquarters established. That means building the building, building the bookshelves, building in the furniture, and getting the utilities up and running on it. So that's going to be a hell of an adventure. In terms of copies sold and income earned, frankly, at this point, I'd be happy with anything more than I've done the last few years. The last few years have been really, really bad in terms of sales and income, because all of my energy that hasn't gone into client work has gone into staying alive, and especially into keeping family members alive through some very dire emergencies. So my other business goal this year is not measured in copies sold or income earned. It's measured in relearning the market. I have been out of the market in terms of a heavy, involved marketing presence for at least 4 years now, because that was when everything started to spin sideways. And the market I'm coming back to looks nothing like the market I left. It's not just that the retailers have changed, it's the algorithms have changed, the influencer points on the network have changed, the entire network topology has changed. I'm talking about the interpersonal network that makes up fandom of various genres. The entire interpersonal network has changed, and the way that readers are discovering books has changed, and it's all a lot harder to figure out now than it would have been if I had been keeping up on the way, and or that it was back when I started doing podcasting in 2007. So, if I can get to the end of this year and know and understand enough about the way the world is working now to push my sales 10-20% above where they are right now, I will consider that a serious win, because it's an election year and the media establishment has perfected the idea of politics as entertainment. So there's going to be a lot of people this year who aren't reading because they've got the news on. And as bad as the news has been in terms of its ubiquity and its ability to assassinate all other culture in the last 4 years, it's going to be really bad this year because it's an election year, and that means lots and lots of money for people who can manipulate you into freaking out long enough to tune into a news station and then keep you there forever. So as a writer, that's what I'm competing against. So if I can manage to raise my sales 20% in terms of units moved per title on average, I will be a very happy guy by the end of the year, because that will prove to me that I have really learned what is going on at the moment in terms of the mechanics of the market, and that'll set me up for some much better success the following. So that's my goal there. And my other business goal, of course, is to get as many books as possible into audio. Finally, I'm finally doing my own audiobooks again, instead of doing client audiobooks to keep the lights on. So I would like, by the end of this year, to have the Lombard Alchemist Tales, the Frockcoat Dream Stories, Sculpting God, Ideas Incorporated, half of the Lantham books, Hadrian's Flight, and the Briggs Defection all in audio. The Briggs Defection won't release an audio until I release the rest of the series, so that may be another year. I'll just be holding that for the big release, but I want to have it recorded. So that's what I've got in terms of personal goals for the year. I would love to hear about any of you who want to be held publicly accountable for your personal goals. If you were one of those who sent your personal goals in last year, please do send a follow-up and say how you were doing. We will read it on air, or if you send an audio file in, we will play it on air. So either way would be fantastic. Thank you very much for the question, Vega. Thank you for the questions, everybody. We'll be getting to them starting tomorrow. We've got a good month's worth of queue built up. That doesn't mean you shouldn't send more in, because the further out we can work, the more regular the delivery schedule will be. And if you have been thinking about it and haven't done so yet, please do take a moment and drop a tip in the tip jar or join up for one of the subscription services we offer, because your support really does help keep this cast a priority. It is, the conversation itself is a delight, but life has been so uncertain that there have been months where the income from this little podcast is all that's been keeping the websites live. So things have been thin. Hopefully not going to be thin this year. A lot of things are starting to look up, but any of your support, really, really appreciated. Thank you very much, and I can't wait to see all of you tomorrow. Have a great evening.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty McKeon, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners. Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.